Welcome back. Episode 39 of the Grapes and Gorak show, powered by Overtime Media. I'm Grapes.
I'm Gorak.
And this episode is brought to you by Weedman Lawn Care, the kid and pet safe lawn care company, which is North America's largest owned franchise lawn care company. And the fertilizer lasts 2 times longer than most competitors. I don't think I've ever read that part, and I feel like that's a key component to
this. The Weedman people are listening. Like, he never mentions our best feature.
And it really is, because, you know, you want that fertilizer to give you that lush green grass. It looks gorgeous. And again, you know, kid and pet safe. So get home from work, you can let your dog go pee, your kids can go play, roll around in the pee, and it'll be a great time.
Yeah, they're going to love that. And don't forget to tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you, and, you know, go to weedmanlawncare.com or, no, weedmanusa.com, right?
Weedmanusa.com.
And or call our special hotline as soon as Ryan finds the number.
It's right there, Ryan. It is. 651-796-2346. Again, that's 651-796-2346. And tell them Grapes and Gorak sent you.
Beautiful, beautiful. So we're sitting here watching the Twins. 18th inning. We just gave up
three
runs. 5-2, bottom of the 18th. So basically, as soon as Ryan came over here, we lost.
Yeah, but I'm not going to take blame for this because, you know, we didn't score. Nobody scored for 15 innings, 16 innings.
I'm just glad we have the game on in the background, you know?
You know, it would be a lot better if we started getting some hits. You know, the inning just started, though. Second pitch.
Man on first, Jake Cave.
There we go. All right.
But anyways, enough about the Twins, you know? It's not a Twins podcast.
No, it's not, but it's good to have Minnesota fans, you know, listening in and hearing about the Twins, which is fun.
Good squad.
But we'll jump into news. We haven't recorded in a couple weeks.
Yeah, so the one big, really the only thing that's happened since we didn't record was Kyle Rudolph's situation is finally resolved. After months of talking about what will happen with Kyle Rudolph.
Is he going to get cut? Is he going to get traded? Is he going to get extended? Yes.
Got extended for 4 years, $36 million, but it keeps him here for 5 because he was already here for 1.
Yep.
What was it, $9.25 million guaranteed?
Yep.
Up to 16 with injury, but I mean it lowered our cap this year by like $4 million. So all the worries about us up against the cap,
which is I don't understand salary cap because he's gonna end up making more this season.
It's the signing bonus. So his base salary is lower.
Oh, that's right. They did lower his base salary.
Yeah, I'm actually looking at it. So his base salary is now $1.75 million, and he got a signing bonus of, I think, $9 million. Or I don't know what it was, but it's every year he gets $1.45 million in signing bonus.
Yeah.
Spread over 5 years. Now, if you cut him, he gets all that money. Well, he already has the money. It's called a signing bonus.
Yeah. So he's guaranteed it for the next 4 years. Yeah.
So even though he's getting more money this year, it's not all on the cap this year. It's spread out over five years.
Instead of non-guaranteed money having to be there, it's guaranteed spread out.
And when you look at that, like a lot of people freaking out, like, oh, 5-year deal, he's going to be like 34 by the time he's done with it.
But
yeah, you could just cut him next season.
I think it's after next season.
You can cut him next season and you get half his money back, a little less than half. So you'd be on the hook for, I think, like $5 million. You'd save like $4 million. You're done with it. No more dead money after that. Or like you said, 2 more years, cut him, you're done.
Yep. Nothing guaranteed after that.
Yeah.
Which is the best way to go about the Rudolph deal. Because at that point, you know, he's going to be 31 if you cut him. You still, like, give him the option to go get a decent contract.
Well, and maybe you give him the option of restructuring again. Or, you know, who knows? Maybe he's still good at 31. Like, he's not going to get any better than he is right now. But he's still a 6'6", good hands. Like, he's still a useful player.
He's a solid piece in this offense, yeah. Especially with, like, Irv Smith. It's like, we've said it before, tight ends usually take a while. I'm not expecting really Irv Smith to take a while, though, like in this mind of the offense. Yeah,
we're getting jacked about Irv Smith.
Yeah, it's like you got the 2 tight end sets. You don't need a 3rd wide receiver. And Chad Beebe, if he's the one who gets that 3rd receiver spot, there you go. I mean, you've got five serviceable guys out there.
Mm-hmm. And I think like with Rudolph, it's not like he's going to get any slower.
Well, he could.
I just think he's like, he is what he is, and it's a useful big red zone target that if you're like each year you decide, is this guy worth keeping or is he not worth keeping? He's not, his cap hit doesn't go, it's like 7 to 9 million every year now. So, yeah. Besides this year where it's super low.
And when you say it's not like he's going to get any slower, it's not like he's running a 4.5 40. Yeah. Like next year, he's going to run a 4.8. Like he already runs a 4.85 probably.
Exactly. Like I just think his skill set is what it is. And he's 29 now. I don't think it's going to be that much worse at 30, 31. No, maybe you start seeing some problems towards his mid-30s, but at that point you could cut him and there's no cap it whatsoever.
Technically, he's still in his prime at that point. Like they always say, you know, 28 to 31 is your prime in the NFL. So,
And getting Irv Smith, maybe he'll play less snaps. I mean, Morgan is worth being out there sometimes too. So maybe if you take some...
You limit his usage.
Yeah, limit his usage. Use him maybe more exclusively in the red zone. He's not Gronk or anything, but he's useful and it's kinda, I like the deal.
It gets me excited. Like, how are we gonna use all these tight ends? Like,
they're all so different. It's like very three different, and it actually four reminds different. Me. Conklin. I don't know where you put Conklin. I feel like he's most similar to like. He's actually kind of different in himself. Like they're all different.
Yeah, but Conklin, I think, is like most similar to like what Rudolph was, but he's also a better blocker, I feel, than.
And he's just like, he's so much shorter. So it's like, he's kind of his own guy, too. We like almost have four very different tight ends. The first two remind me of like a poor man's Patriots back when they had Hernandez being the H-back and Gronk being the big, tall, physical guy. But then we also have the blocker and Morgan. And then, Conklin, like. He's with a lot of hype during training or OTAs. Like people talking about Conklin, like he's showing up. So
and
deep a tight end.
I have zero problem keeping four tight ends if they're good. If they're four of your best 53 players,
keep them.
Who cares?
I would actually be kind of shocked if we didn't keep four tight ends
at this point. Agree.
Three are locks.
I would definitely say Morgan's a lot and
absolutely.
Conklin plays. He played very well as a rookie last year.
Limited time, but very well. And you're not going to cut Conklin. He played too well. It's like he's someone would just immediately pick him up. So it's like, just go with less running backs or less linebackers or less something else. So, I don't know. Good to see us, find our way under the cap. You know, we did it. You know, Rick Spielman and Brzezinski, they pulled it off. I mean, good to have a competent front office.
You know? It is. And, everyone wanted Spielman fired at the beginning of the offseason. Well, not everyone, but
Vikings Twitter. Different breed on there. Yeah.
But, and it's just weird to think about that. Like, why people want Spielman. They either want Spielman's head or Zimmer's head. I guess they just are, like, looking for somebody to hold accountable. They don't want to hold any of the players accountable.
It's very simple. John D. Filippo.
I know, but he was gone at the end of the year, so everyone forgot about him.
All his fault. Yeah, it's true. It's like the Bears game was his fault.
It actually was his fault.
Yeah, let's the seeds that he planted were still there. Yep,
because all of a sudden, Cousins is a one-read quarterback. He's never been a one-read quarterback. I don't know. I didn't watch the Redskins. Did you watch the Redskins?
I don't know. It was certainly not that type of offense. So, 100% of the blame, DeFilippo.
I'd call for his head, but we've already got it.
We got his head after that Seahawk debacle. So I was looking at our cap, next year. I think this is, the last year where we're going to keep our whole core together. Because, we're over the cap already next year. I think you're going to see guys like Griffin gone. Linval could be gone.
Those were the first two names that popped up.
Riley Reiff is possible. Like I was looking at some of the people that you could cut where you don't have a huge, dead money.
Yeah.
Like it's.
How about if spitballing here, playing devil's advocate. What if Xavier Rhodes has an injury riddled year? Does he have a big cap hit?
I think his is reasonable. I think it's similar to Reiff. Like Reiff, you only save half of his. But he's got a decent number, so it's a decent amount of money. It's it's similar to if you were to cut Rudolph, it's half. But someone like Everson Griffin, it's almost his entire contract.
Yeah.
And I think his contract also voids if he does a certain amount of
incentive.
If he has a certain amount of sacks and stuff. So Xavier Rhodes, what is that? Would that be 2020 then?
Yeah,
he has no guaranteed money. So, but he has his signing bonus, so you would save half his contract. So you'd have $8 million in savings, $4 million in dead money. But like you said, if he has an injury year, if he last year wasn't as great as here. So if he's doing that.
No, and that's just why I kind of threw that name out there.
Even then, all the other names I threw out, like Reiff, not as good as he was the year before. Everson Griffin clearly had a down season, and Linval, I think, is slowly not as dominant as he was a few years ago.
So. And I also heard, well, I don't know, I was reading on Twitter, I forget who it was, Viking Age or whatnot, and they're talking about maybe Harrison Smith could be the next person, like, extended. Because I think he only has two more years after this, correct?
I'd have to look. Let me see.
I think he has two more years after this year, but you could kind of restructure. You could,
like, spread it out.
So yep, spread it out and save some more money next year. I think that's kind of.
Mm-hmm. Well, the big one, too, is Kirk Cousins. Like, what are they going to. Is he just going to play out his contract?
Yeah. What?
You know, like, what's the plan with that?
I wonder if you start talking extension if you make the playoffs, I guess. But at that point. Is he listening, or is he just going, well, if I play another great year, maybe I can go make $37 million?
He's a weird guy like that. Like, I wonder if he's just like, no, I'm going to just get to free agency again so I have the most leverage. Like, it seems like that's kind of what his MO is.
Yeah, but I mean, he's made $137 million over 5 years after the two tags and then the fully guaranteed contract.
He's bet on himself a lot in one because, like, he doesn't get hurt. That's the thing. Like, when you take that franchise tag, if you were to blow out your knee, it's like, okay, well, you're not going to get a good long-term deal. The guy doesn't get hurt. Yeah. And he plays good enough that he gets paid a shit ton.
Yeah, I mean, he's still a top 15 quarterback.
Yeah, Harrison Smith is under contract for this year and then two more years, so through 2021. So you could definitely. But I'm a little, I mean, he's going to be 32.
I was just going to say that.
He's another guy that it's like, he's still very good, but he's not as good as he was 2 years ago. Like, I feel like he's on the, like, he's peaked. Like, he's on the downside, which is still very good.
Yeah,
he's going down. Just like Linval, just like Everson. Where guys like Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs, those guys are going up still. Like, I think they're still improving. Even, like, an Anthony Barr, I think, could get slightly better.
Well, Harrison Smith is, like, oddly one of the oldest players on the roster. Yeah. Which is very strange to think about.
It is funny. I was, like, watching old Viking highlights, and it's like, oh, he played with, you know, I can't even think who it was, but, like, players that I'm like, oh, wow, he was a rookie then.
He
like,
played with, wasn't he a rookie 2011?
Same year
he played with Ponder.
Yeah, like, stuff like that. It's like, oh, he was on that awful team. Like,
yeah, and the year after Favre, I think, which would be the year, which was 2010. The year, yeah. I think that, 2011, I think, is the year he got drafted. Because that was in Arizona.
Oh, when he got drafted?
Yeah.
He was the second person we took that draft. Who was the first?
Because
we traded back into the first.
Matt Khalil.
Gross. Matt Khalil.
Because I wanted Morris Claiborne.
That's right.
And then we got Harrison Smith, and I was like, oh, we got some sweet black safety? He's not black.
Harrison Smith. I remember he was kind of quite a few people were like, oh, they reached for him. Like, oh, you know, they didn't need to trade up for him. Way better. Funny. It's funny when you redraft that and, like, Khalil's not even, like, you take Harrison Smith way over Khalil.
Yeah, but, like,
Trent Richardson was like.
Yeah, it was Trent Richardson, Khalil.
Blackman.
Justin Blackman, Morris Claiborne.
Garbage.
All those players, like in a heartbeat, you would trade them for Harrison Smith in a redraft. You'd be like, oh, Harrison Smith probably guarantee goes top 10 in that draft.
Is that the 2012 draft?
Yeah, technically, I believe. Or
is no, that because that would have been the Andrew Luck draft.
Oh, 2011 draft then, the Cam Newton draft. No. What year was here? It's got to be the 2011 draft.
No, it's Cam Newton.
When was 2012, 2013?
All right. Yeah, Sam Bradford's 20. So, yeah, you're.
Oh, wow.
It's got to be 2013.
Okay, so we're going to go 2013 draft, Harrison Smith. With the Trent Richardson.
That's the year we traded back. No, that's not it either. You're way off to play the year after Favre. What do you call up with this shit?
I don't know. He's, what, 30? 31 this year?
Wait, was he even earlier than that? I can't find it. It's lost.
Yeah, you know, here's how you Smith, find it. Not actually a real Harrison player. Smith, I was just
Wikipedia,
supposed to do that on my
and
phone.
Let's just find it. Because this has got to happen, you know? 2012. So we were right originally. It was the Andrew Luck draft.
Really? Okay.
Oh, it goes Luck, Griffin, Trent Richardson.
Oh.
Matt Khalil. I just didn't scroll down far enough.
Jesus. Come on now. Well, RG3, boss that draft as well.
Mark Barron went 7th overall.
Oof, as a safety.
Yeah.
They took a safety named Mark Barron, who now plays linebacker poorly, over All-Pro Harrison Smith.
Over Luke Kuechly, who plays linebacker a lot better than Mark Barron does now.
Yes, facts.
Anyways, enough about random shit like that. Kendall Wright. Wow. Shea McClellan.
Quinton
Coples.
Who? I actually remember Coples.
Yeah. He had the tattoo that was like raised on his arm or whatever it was. Yeah, He looked like a brand. Is that what it is?
It was a brand, yeah.
Yeah. Michael Floyd. Brandon Whedon.
Randy's guy.
You know who else? Riley Reiff, first round pick that year.
Oh.
Never made a Pro Bowl. Loser. Anyways, okay. So, yeah, Rudolph extended.
Perfect. That
problem solved.
We got capped this year in case anything happens.
You know, looking back at our whole offseason, who did we really lose? Sheldon Richardson. Otherwise,
because Sendejo didn't play much last year.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't going to be a starter.
We lost,
you know, Remmers, who sounds like he's like not even gonna be ready for camp, and he sucked. Tom Compton, terrible. Latavius Murray, solid player, replaced.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think we did very good for ourselves as far as...
Yeah, and I feel like we're better this year depth-wise. I mean, obviously on the O-line, clearly...
Definitely the O-line is deeper.
And defensive line, we're a year better, or a year older, same scheme. And we lost Sheldon Richardson, but I don't know. I believe in the young guys.
Yeah, and, you know, Richardson really faded towards the end. He was, like, super impactful the first, like, half of the season and then just kind of, like, faded away. And then, like, you know, look at the secondary. Now you're getting Mike Hughes back. That should be a pretty stacked. Yep.
Holton Hill's had a year. And, like, a lot of people say cornerback is, you know, the hardest position on defense. And a lot of people say second overall besides quarterback as a rookie.
He looked like he belongs. Like, it didn't look like Josh Robinson out there. You know, like, he looks like Holton Hill will be a player in this league.
Yeah, because you see a lot of rookie cornerbacks, like, you can see them, they look lost. Mac Alexander looked lost.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Robinson, lost.
Even, like, you know, Waynes wasn't very good to start. No. Everyone hated him.
Cedric Griffin, like, back in the day.
Took him, like, 3 years. Yeah. All of a sudden, he was, like, a beast.
Yeah, he looked lost first couple
even
of years.
Even Rhodes was, like, super handsy and getting penalties all the time, so... I thought Holton Hill, I mean, he didn't, you know, he wasn't shut down or anything, but as far as an undrafted rookie coming in, I thought he played really well.
Yeah, you definitely could have done worse. Like, going into the last
year. He could
have
got exposed. Like, well, it's like when Marcus Sherrills, remember, was at the Patriots game? Like,
yes.
Sherrills had to play one drive, and it was like, they're like, look at this guy. Like, oh, there's a punt returner playing corner. That's cute. And they just went right at him. And it's like, oh, man. Like, I like Sherrills. Great punt returner. Good special teams guy, but he does not belong on defense.
No.
Like, and if he does, it's like, put him in the nickel. He had to play outside that drive, and they were just like...
Yeah, because who... Cause
well,
Wayne's,
going into it, we were short players, and then I think... Yeah, I think Wayne's got his bell rung at one point.
Yeah, because Rhodes didn't play at all.
Or he kept going in and out, I think.
I don't know. I think he had hurt his ankle, and he... Or hamstring.
Tried to play,
and it was like three drives, and it's like, no.
That was a sloppy game. Super sloppy game. Oh. It was like misting, and it was just like... We just never really in it. The Rudolph news. Do we want to jump to our defensive? What did we even call this?
I think it was just the 90.
I mean, it's like a deep 90 man
overview.
Yeah, because I, you know, we're kind of skipping over the main guys and talking about the camp guys, the people that, you know, you're going to see in the third quarter, fourth quarter of the preseason game. So you get to
just kind of
get to know them.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Just a meet and greet kind of thing, except without meeting them.
So, yeah. So that way, when you're watching the fourth quarter of the Vikings preseason game, you're like, oh, you know, that's Brandon Dillon, tight end, some random. But now I've heard the name now.
I've heard Brandon Dillon. And look at that. He looks kind of shifty out there.
Yeah. Okay. He looks Kerry Blazin game, you know, that guy, fullback. Oh.
Man, you threw that little highlight out there, and man, a little fullback screen.
People are excited.
Loved it.
He won't make the team.
Oh, well, it's only because...
He won't be on my 53-man roster.
Only because we have CJ Ham.
Oh, yeah, you got Ham. There's no reason to let go of Ham.
No, and Blazin game, boom, practice squad. Solved it.
True. I don't know if I want to keep a fullback on the practice squad.
Well, he could be a power back. You,
that's true.
Remember
Olandis
Gary and Mike Anderson running for 1,000 yards, technically fullbacks?
And it was in the Shanahan scheme, right?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
All right. Well, let's jump into the defense. Actually, a lot of interesting guys on defense. DN, you want to start there?
Yeah. Let's start up front and work our way back.
So
and DN, I mean, there's we've always had...
We're good at turning these guys out, I feel like.
You know? You got your Weatherly, your Griffin, who came on.
And fourth-round pick. Third-round pick. Weatherly, I think, was like a seventh.
Sixth or seventh.
Late-round guy. So, like, we haven't taken a high DN. When's the last DN we took high?
Erasmus James.
Oh, my gosh. Why would you even say that?
Kenechi Udezi.
I liked Udezi.
I did, too. I like both those guys.
Oh, I mean, I didn't like Erasmus James once. He was a terrible player. Udezi, I felt like... Definitely not as good as we thought he was going to be, but I liked him.
He was solid.
He was like a good run stopper, and like, but he just then he had like a disease or something, right?
Not lymphoma,
something like
some sort bone. What's the bone marrow cancer?
So yeah, he's like a coach now, I think, for like USC or something though.
I believe so.
Leukemia.
Yeah. Didn't he have leukemia, some type of leukemia?
Yeah. So defense end, yeah. Like besides Jared Allen, which we traded our first for, we have not invested much in defense end. Because we had like Brian Robeson, fourth rounder, Ray Edwards, fourth rounder. Because it went from we had Jared Allen and Ray Edwards. Then it was Jared Allen and Brian Robeson. Then it was Brian Robeson and Everson Griffin. And then it was Hunter and Everson Griffin.
Yeah.
So we've just been like.
Just find talent and develop it.
So the next man that's going to be the, you know.
The heart and soul.
A Fetty. Can you say his last name? A Bingabo?
A Bingabo? I don't know. Those names are tough.
And those guys that have those names are usually strong. It's like a strong, I don't know what like background that is. Is that like, it's like an African, I think? Like a
Kenyan?
I don't know, but there's that one, the guy that plays for...
Ogunjobi.
Yeah, Ogunjobi.
Afidi Ogunjobi.
Yeah, this guy's name is Afidi
Ogunbo. Yeah.
Sorry, anyways, yeah, sorry, dude. 2017 seventh round pick out of Northwestern. He made the practice squad, but then the Browns poached him off our practice squad, brought him onto their active roster. Spent a little bit of time with the Cardinals and the Eagles. Oh, no, with the Cardinals. And then we brought him back. Eagles tried to poach him, and we gave him a bonus to stay. So similar to Jeff Badette.
Yep.
Who, you know, I like that. I like when a team tries to steal your practice squad guy. And I think maybe he learned his lesson of going when he left for the Browns and stuff. He left that, you know, the coaching of the Vikings and the environment of the Vikings. And maybe he's going, you know, I'm just going to stay here. I like this, you know.
I like how they teach.
Yeah, I'd rather stay here where I know the coaches, I know, you know, the locker room than go to the Eagles.
Start all over with the Browns,
and it didn't work. They cut me loose pretty quick after that, you know.
And when you're that young, going from coaching staff to coaching staff, he probably liked something that the Vikings that Andre Patterson did. Then the Browns are probably like, no, don't do that. And he's like, no. I just got taught this, and this works for me.
Did we talk about on the podcast how Greg Williams only let Myles Garrett do one?
Yeah,
pass rush move.
Yep.
So that's the same coach. He's probably like, I don't like this at all. Like, what do you mean I can only do one move? So, you know, back to the cocoon of Minnesota. He likes it, you know. And I wrote down here that he's raw talent, but very explosive. So, something, you know, kind of another, like one of those late round guys we tend to take, you know.
Yep.
They're athletes.
Yeah, that's the thing with our, like, for sure, sixth and seventh round pick is let's look for someone who's freakish at their position and see if we can mold that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure every team kind of does that, but we seem to be pretty good at
especially those at defensive end at finding someone and developing them. So number two defensive end, Tayshaun Bauer. He's actually probably more would be the fourth stringer, I would say. Like he's behind Weatherly.
Yeah.
He's still only 24 years old, undrafted in 2017, so same year as Afedi, but he made the 53 out of camp. Had a really good camp. I remember I think he had a couple sacks in the preseason.
Yeah, I think he had like preseason. Three sacks in his first preseason.
And definitely was the guy people thought was going to be the rotation DN last season. Was going to be the guy that came in for Hunter and Griffin and was like that third guy. Then he got hurt, went on IR, and then Weatherly stepped up. And I was like, oh, wait, now it's Weatherly. That's our guy.
And Weatherly stepped up.
He stepped up. You know, it is what it is. But, like, going into the season, Bauer was the guy that fans were like, oh, get ready. This Bauer's going to take a leap. Like, he's going to be the guy that, not that he's going to be a starter, but he's going to be that third DN that rotates
the, in. The fresh legs gets the pass.
And he just kind of didn't happen because of the injury. And then now he's kind of behind the eight ball because Weatherly clearly passed him. But still looked really good in the preseason, his first season.
And you can never have too many pass rushers. Like, we always talked last preseason about our D-line depth. Like, rotation, keep guys fresh. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even Danielle Hunter, like, having Weatherly and Bauer out there, not for, like, a whole drive, but obviously, like, you know,
well, and
a couple plays here and there, you get Griffin and Hunter off. You get two different looks off the edge because they've got different moves.
Well, and like last year with Griffin going through his stuff, Weatherly had to be a starter. Bauer's on IR. You don't have that third guy to rotate. I mean, I don't even know who is. Did they just basically make Weatherly and Hunter play most of the game? I think they did. I know Zimmer made a joke that, like, have you seen Danielle Hunter? Like, don't worry about it. He'll be fine. But it is worrisome when you know, guys go down, another guy's having, you know, mental health problems, and all of a sudden you only have two good DNs on your whole team. So. Yeah,
and just like that, Danielle Hunter could go down.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one big lean muscle, yeah. But those guys tend to be the guys who get hurt.
So that's Bauer.
And oh no, that was DK Metcalf, who only had like 0.6% body fat or something. I thought that
he's unhealthy. DK Metcalf should seek help. So third guy on the DN list. There's a lot of DNs. Ade Aruna. You remember him? Last year, sixth round pick. Another definitely a athlete with you know, needs coaching, super raw.
He's long though, isn't he?
He's long. So, and I was reading up on him. So he's out of Tulane. He played 3-4 nose his senior year. I wrote down, because the coaches are morons. And that's someone else was like all fired up about it, you know, because he's their best athlete, but it's like, we'll stick him at nose then, because like he can eat up blocks. And it's like, it's kind of like what they did to Ed Oliver. Your best position is probably three tech, but we're going to make you play nose because it like helps the defense the most.
Yeah.
So it's not really the best way to like show off his talents. Ran a 4.640 and tested in the 85th percentile of DNs. So again, super athletic. Doesn't really know how to play football. He never played it till his senior year of high school. And he's a native Nigerian.
Love it.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely another like ball of clay for Patterson to attempt to turn into something. Fourth on the list, Carter Schultz.
Here's a name I'm not familiar with.
AAF player. So a Pro Football Focus favorite. They loved him. Was a beast in the AFF.
He's the guy. He's the AAF sack master, isn't
he? Yes, that's the guy. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. So he's not super athletic. But he's smart, fundamentally sound, hard worker. Kind of like that description reminds me of maybe like Brian Robeson. I mean, maybe even a less athletic Brian Robeson, though.
Is it because he's white?
He's definitely white.
Because honestly,
name me an unathletic.
That's the first person I thought of too was Robeson.
Well, you know what, Robeson? He's like you know, salt of the earth. You know these guys. You could say maybe like a Kinechi Udeze. I don't think Udeze was super athletic.
No, I don't think he was either.
So, you know, what are you supposed to do?
He's a lunch pail kind of guy.
The other day I was trying to think of Chad Beebe comparisons. It's like, it's Wes Welker. What are you supposed to do? He's not Percy Harvin. Anyways, he's out of Northern Iowa. Yeah, basically kind of really good everywhere he goes, but like I just feel like discounted because of the lack of like measurables, you know? It's all heart. You can't measure heart. Carter Schultz. Going to be a quality ball player.
And I love the name. Carter. Carter Schultz.
Carter with a K.
Oh, man. Please tell me there's a D instead of a T.
He's 25. So they're all these guys are 25 or younger. So definitely a bunch of young bucks here. Fifth one on the list. Stacy Keeley. 2019 rookie camp signing. So you know how we have the big rookie camp? Well, this offseason we had it, and I think him and one other person
impressed enough. Yeah, there was two guys, and it was another guy in defense.
I think it was a corner or something.
Yep, we'll talk about him later.
Yeah. I think that's a Thielen route. Wasn't Thielen the rookie camp, made the team? I think maybe Marcus Shields also did that because he was a gopher. It's like a lot of times it's those like local guys because they can come there.
Because they're not getting the national attention.
Yeah, but it's like showcase. The Vikings are like, oh, we'll let the local guy come, you know, it's kind of, you know. And then also it's like, oh, wait, this guy actually has some talent. Interesting. So, Stacy Keeley, Again, very athletic. A lot of the height, weight, speed kind of guy. But it looks like he needs to put on weight. 6'6", 220.
Ooh.
So, like, Carter Schultz is 6'3", 265. That's a,
yeah,
that's
when
a beefy fella.
6'6", he should probably weigh between 260 and 280.
Yeah, so that's, like, end. Lean and long, you know. So, probably a guy that just needs to put on weight. We'll see. Next one. So, this is the last DN. So, there's six DNs in camp after the top three.
Yes.
So a lot of guys.
So,
there's nine total. A lot of guys. Andre St. Armoire. Again, a guy that I had as a fourth rounder on the Gorak board.
Oh, man.
PFF loved him. Not loved him, but a good grade. Definitely someone that, like, when I was looking at it, I was like, oh, he'll get drafted. We got him undrafted. So one of our, I think, our better undrafted free agents are, like, higher thought of. Like, last year, Holton Hill was the one that everyone was like, he should have went the third. Like, he dropped because of this, you know. Yep. This guy, definitely not as good as that, but, like, maybe, okay, he should have went in the fifth, sixth, seventh, you know.
One of those guys that should have been drafted, wasn't, yeah. And... yeah, he just needs his opportunity. Don't be surprised if you hear his name.
If you
often.
Hear his name, yeah, especially over some of these other guys that are definitely more of a just raw athletic athletes, where he, I think, actually showed something in college, or at least PFF graded him that he did. I put that he struggles against the run, but he's a good situational pass rusher. That's kind of what I read when I was scouting him. So those are your DNs. I think it's a pretty solid group. I don't know.
Sounds like we have a lot of pass rushers.
Yeah.
Like, nobody to really, like, set the edge and hold the run.
I don't feel like we do that as much. Like, I mean, because Danielle Hunter's on outside, and, like...
Hunter does it in, like, the most freakish way possible.
Exactly. Like, he's, like, the somehow he does it and also gets, like, you know, 9 sacks. So, it's, like...
It's just, like, watching, you know, every other top-tier pass rusher. It's, like... holy cow, he's halfway up the field, but all of a sudden he just gets his arm out and bam, he's got the tackle.
Yeah.
What?
Deal Hunter's a monster. It would be interesting to see him on the other side if they would flip him. I know they did it a little bit.
Well, when Griffin was out, we were talking about how he, like, is probably his spot once Griffin leaves.
Yeah, I would think so. That's kind of what happened. Like, Griffin moved over when Jared Allen left, and it's like, now you're just given more freedom to just rush the passer, you know, as soon as you see that, you know, it's a passer, you just fly in there. So
yeah, and Weatherly's not bad against the run, so, I mean, if Weatherly is, you know, the next man up for that spot.
I actually think that might be a better role for Weatherly.
I do, too.
So if Griffin did leave next year, and it's Hunter on one side, Weatherly on the other, although Weatherly's a free agent also, so.
Oh, yes. Yes, he is.
We'll see. Anyways, on to the defensive tackles. I like this group. It's a good group.
I really like the defensive tackles.
Well, it's like you were saying, we lost Sheldon Richardson, but we got some candidates to replace him. Some young guys.
Yeah, we'll talk about a couple of the guys in the future. I mean, we'll talk about them now, but we'll get to
our top.
We'll get to hear more about them later.
Yeah, yeah. So your top guys, obviously, Linval. Really, Linval. Oh, Shamar Stephen. I'm not really going to talk much about him.
Jaleel Johnson.
He's on my list of, like, they're not deeper, but, like, you know Linval. I think everyone kind of knows Shamar Stephen. I mean, but maybe not. Who knows Shamar Stephen? He's back from Seattle.
Yep, he left last year. Yep. We drafted him in the fifth?
No, he was late, like sixth or seventh.
Sixth round?
Yep, I think it might even be a seventh rounder.
But we drafted him. He left for a year.
He was always kind of a rotational guy. He's like a bit of a tweener. He's not quite a nose, but he's definitely not a pass rusher.
No, he's more of like a... he's got a three-tech body, but he's more a... definitely sound against the run.
Seventh round pick. Seventh round pick. Well, what the coaches always said, he was like the most fundamentally sound player they've ever coached. Like, he just does everything correctly. But I don't think he has the pure athletic, quick twitch ability, you know, to, like, be a elite pass rusher or anything. So I think he'll...
so his football IQ is up there with the best of them.
And his technique is up there, like, really good too. So I think he'll be like a... he'll do a little spelling for Linval. He'll play a little early down three tech.
Yep. You know, I definitely can see him a lot on, like, the run heavy teams where it's, you know, Griffin, Hunter, Linval, Stephen.
Oh yeah, you play a team that wants to run it, and you put those two of your bigger run stoppers there. I think that makes a lot of
sense. Or near the goal line.
Yep.
I mean, if you're bringing in five defensive linemen, it's probably Jaleel, Stephen, and Linval.
Well, let's talk about Jaleel, because I think he's kind of a very similar player to Shamar Stephen. I think he's
definitely
a little better. I think he has a little more pass rush moves, but I don't think he's, again, quite as... like, if you're comparing him to Sheldon Richardson, he's not even a poor man Sheldon Richardson. He's just the body type. He's a little more nose. I mean, he's 316 pounds, so he's a bigger guy. Yeah. He was a fourth-round pick in 2017. Apparently, he had a terrible combine. Did not know this.
I did not either. Yeah, and we took him in the fourth.
Took him in the fourth, yeah. So, yeah, I wrote, you know, not quite strong enough to be a full-time nose, not quite quick enough to be a full three-tech. Similar to Shamar Stephen. You know, if he... I think he's another good rotation piece. I don't know if he ever has super high three-tech upside. But he hasn't played much, so maybe. I don't know. Maybe he could break through there. I think the guy we both like a lot, Jalen Holmes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Ohio State, last year's fourth-round pick. I think he was a very high fourth-round pick, too.
He was.
I think he was either the first or second. I think we had, like, either, yeah, we were very... and he played a lot of D-end at Ohio State, but we took him, and we definitely thought, put on some weight, move him into three-tech.
Because he was... He played a lot of D-end, but he was, like, 280, 285.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, and it's kind of, at that point, it's, do we want to lean him up or do we want to beef him up? And we decided we're going to beef him up, mm-hmm. see if he can't play three tech.
And they were, I think what a lot of, I think PFF said it, I think the Vikings basically said it, was like watching the tape, yeah, he played a lot of D-end, but when he did play three tech, that's where he shined. Like, that's where he did his best. So, and I think it was Patterson, the D-line coach, said keep an eye on him. So it's, I mean... The coach is talking up. That's always good. He broke his hand last offseason, which kind of set him back. So I think that was part of why we didn't see a ton of him.
Yeah.
You know, and also position switch. He's only 23 still right now, so he was decently young. So Jalen Holmes, Jahlil Johnson.
Urban Meyer's been known to pump out some D linemen too.
This is true. This is true.
So
here's my personal favorite DT.
I know exactly who you're talking
who
about.
Who do you think I'm talking about?
Hercules.
Hercules, man. I think everyone loves this guy. Yep.
Mata'afa? Is that how you would pronounce
it? I think it is Mata'afa. Washington State, undrafted last year. I believe he tear his ACL? Missed the entire season?
Yes.
They were playing him a little bit at linebacker, a little bit at three tech, a little D end.
Yeah, he was only like 245 pounds yep. or something like that coming out mm-hmm. of Washington State, where he played linebacker and DN.
He played some three tech there too. He played in some interior.
Okay.
In college it's a little easier because they're playing against, you know, shittier players. He won Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. Off the charts grades from Pro Football Focus, but like you said, kind of positionless, and the weight was just like, it's like you can't hold up a D line. Like, so went undrafted.
Yep, and I was hoping when we got him undrafted that we'd kind of focus him more on linebacker.
Yeah.
And
that they started that. He was doing a little middle linebacker, and then now going into this season,
it's three tech.
It's all three tech. Yep. And
we're looking for that inside pass uh-huh. rusher this year.
And he put on some weight.
Yeah, I think he's up like 25 pounds since he got, or at least 25 yeah, pounds since he got drafted.
And John Randall wasn't big. You know, I'm just saying. You know,
I don't think John Randall. I'm sure he was listed at 290. And if he ever cracked 290, it's because he was one small muscle.
Yeah, and he was shorter, wasn't John Randall was a short guy.
I think he was 5'11".
And undrafted?
I don't think he was undrafted. I could be wrong, but I think he's a sixth-round pick. John Randall we're talking about.
Undrafted.
See, I was wrong.
Look at the similarities. 6'1", 244 pounds when he was drafted.
6'1's being generous. He'd probably say that too.
And what I had for Mata'afa was 6'2", 250 to 270. Because I've read a lot of articles that said he put on 20 pounds. And so I don't know where he is. But I'm not saying he's John Randall, but a lot of similarities to Randall.
I like you throwing Randall's name out there.
Oh, you got to. Go right to the Hall of Famer.
And with a name like Hercules, Mata'afa?
Oh, and again, I don't mean to stereotype, but these So, is it Samoan?
Samoan.
Those guys are monsters. Palomalu.
Oh, Palomalu.
They're hardworking. They quick twitch, getting off the line. Like Palomalu just jump over piles. I mean, it was.
Can you imagine a combination of Palomalu and John Randall?
Because that's what we got. So 23 years old, I'm excited for him. That's I think that a lot of Viking fans are like, I think he's kind of the hot name right now going into camp. So
he's definitely the
for the fans that are like that are into the Vikings like we are, that they're reading about that. So but the people that are more casual, Remember the name, Hercules Mataafa.
You won't forget it. It's Hercules. Your favorite Disney movie.
Next on the D-line, Armin Watts. Sixth round this year.
Arkansas.
I like the pick. I mean, he showed pass rush skills.
I thought he'd go higher.
I did too. I don't remember where I had him on my board, but sixth round was, I thought, pretty good pick. Definitely one of my favorite late round picks. One that I see a good path to like actually making this team.
Yep.
So, yep. Unless Hercules steals his job.
Yes. Yes.
Now we have Tito Agbinabo. Okay. Same, you know, Fetty?
Yep.
It's his brother.
Yes, I remember that. I remember we got his brother.
Yes. So, again, quick, strong player, needs to develop big time. You know, needs coaching, needs another ball of clay. More of a practice squad type is what I wrote down. Like, he's 22. He's probably here because his brother's on the team. Although, we did bring in, I think, did we bring in Diggs' brother?
It was Diggs' brother, yes.
And then, I think there was even another one that it's like, all right, that was cute. Get out of here. You know, so good enough to make the 90-man roster. Something. Undrafted this year, by the way. Last DT, Curtis Conthrin, undrafted last year. Don't remember him at all.
Me neither. Literally don't remember. I'm not familiar with
him. Penn State made the practice squad initially before we cut him. And I have that he's very athletic and explosive, needs to add up weight and develop some actual pass rushing moves. So these, if you notice, I feel like we have a type for our like end of roster guy. It's all
raw
athletes that we're trying to like, can we teach this guy how to do anything? If not, all right, move on to the next raw athlete. Yeah. We just keep churning them. Instead of like, I think the other way you could go is like, let's get the
more sound,
the guy. More sound, the smart, let's get him better. You know, the guy that knows how to play, that just, you know, we kind of are just looking for athletes and we're going to try to turn them into something. So,
which is my personal favorite way to go because I love me a freak athlete.
Yeah. Like, and, you know,
who doesn't like watching 6'6 Danielle Hunter roll around there? I know he's not 6'6, but
he's damn close, I think.
I feel like he's underlisted.
Yeah.
When they call him 6'4, he's probably 6'4 and 5/8, which means he's closer to 6'5 than he is, you know, 6'4.
Well, you know, Pat Williams only weighed like 300 pounds, according to the Vikings.
I feel like I always saw him at like the 319 mark.
Yeah, that's about it. Like, 319 is belly's hanging out of his shirt. It's like, that dude was awesome, though. Don't kid. That guy was so good.
Like, I saw a thing on NFL throwbacks. Oh, Keith Traylor.
That dude.
I totally forgot about
Tractor
him.
Tractor Traylor?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. He was big, too. And who was the guy who played next to Pat Williams in Buffalo?
Ted Washington?
Ted Washington, yeah. Another big
guy. That guy played on like half the league's teams. It's ridiculous. So that's your defensive tackles. So there's, what was that? There's that six again?
Yeah, six plus
Shamar and Linval. So eight. Seven. It's nine again.
Because we talked about Stefan.
Yep, so there's nine of them. Jeez, man, it's a lot of D-line in camp. Let's jump to the linebackers.
That would put, what, six? No, nine and eight?
Yeah, 17 D-line, yeah.
Wow.
A little shallower at linebacker here, especially seeing as I feel like we don't have great depth, but you got Barr. You got Kendricks. You got Ben Gideon. I mean,
not our favorite, but he's serviceable.
Yeah, fourth round pick 2 years ago. He's appeared in 31 games. He started 17 games. I mean, he's our base 4-3 starting linebacker.
When it says Gideon started the game, that's only because the team
came out in a two tight end set.
Yeah,
you know, he's not out there with. I mean, he's the typical low ceiling, low floor. He is what he is. He'll make the tackle, but he's not going to like do.
He's
much
not going to wow
you. You know what you're getting. He's probably a good special teamer. His upside is what he is right now, though.
Yeah, he's
like Jasper Brinkley.
He's not very good in coverage. I know we've gotten back and forth, like in between games, sending each other text messages like Gideon sucks.
Gideon
misses his like flat read and stuff like that.
Yeah, the thing is, like Gideon is not meant for coverage. He's meant to stop the run, and he's just like
he's a lunch pail linebacker.
He's bringing his bucket with him. So next linebacker, Eric Wilson. Undrafted 2017. I remember that was the year I think we drafted a linebacker late, and then we had also had Elijah Lee, who I really liked.
Yep.
And he beat them all out, made the 53-man roster. He started four games last year because of injuries to Barr or Kendricks.
Yes.
Because he actually, I mean, he's got 4.48 speed. Very athletic. Kind of smaller, though. But definitely can cover better than Gideon. So when, like, one of our nickel linebackers goes down, that's he was always in he's always in there over Gideon. So
and he's one of those guys, like, I mean, he's undrafted, so you weren't expecting a lot. And so when you see him, like, out of place in the nickel defense when he's replacing Barr or Kendricks, you're kind of going, oh, come on, man. But at the same time, he also, like, shows those plays where, you know, he reads the quarterback's eyes before he throws it and he steps into a passing lane.
Yeah, it's definitely like you get when he messes up. The guy was undrafted, but for like where he is, it's pretty damn good find to find a guy that can step in and start four games and not make a complete fool of himself. I mean, after his first couple starts, I was like, shit, man, he's pretty good. And then I know we had one game where I think it was the Bears game.
He got
kind of roughed up pretty bad.
It was the Bears game, and I was like, oh, Jesus, terrible.
So, and I don't know if he has any more where to go. Like, he's 24. Like, it's kind of like, but I pegged Jaron Curse last year as like, this is it. He's a special teamer. And then he kind of made a leap, and it's like, oh, he's like doing more. So maybe Wilson has a little something that he can do.
Yeah, I mean, he's still kind of one of those guys where let's give him another year, maybe
and
two.
And see if he can, like, yeah, could develop into something more than just a spot starter, you know, special teamer,
fourth or fifth linebacker, yeah.
Next up, Devontae Downs, last year, seventh round pick. Pretty much only played special teams, hasn't played any defense. I was reading that Pro Football Focus really liked his pass rush ability as a blitzing linebacker, which I thought was interesting since we used to do a lot of double A and stuff like that. So,
and Walt Zimmer says he wants to do a little more exotic stuff this year.
And except one of these linebackers, I mean, last year Wilson was kind of the guy that stepped up, but like none of these guys, one of these guys got to step up. I don't know. It's just like it's kind of the depth at linebacker is just weak. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of receiver, you know.
I'm looking for somebody to take Gideon's job.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, someone take Gideon's job.
Yeah, I mean, Gideon, like, I would have no complaints if Gideon was my fourth linebacker. Yeah. None whatsoever. Uh-huh. But since he's my third linebacker, yeah, I'm complaining a little bit.
Yeah, because he's playing like 20 to 30% of the snaps on defense, and he's not good.
Yeah, so somebody please take his job.
Yeah, so maybe Devontae Downs, seventh rounder out of Cal last year. Kentrell Brothers, 26 years old now. Fifth round pick in 2016, kind of feel like...
I feel like he's a special team... I don't even want to call him a special team's ace.
I feel like he's one of our better special teamers, and that's all he does.
Yeah.
Three seasons, he's almost exclusively played special teams.
I don't think...
I'm sure
he's got... I think his rookie... I don't remember him playing defense at all last year.
Yeah, I feel like... I don't think he did last year. He might have got a few plays here and there, like, in the first two seasons, but he was suspended to start the season last year. I wrote, you know, not a great athlete, but he did lead the nation in tackles as a senior. So, like, that was kind of the hype coming out of, like, ooh, we got the guy who led the league in tackles in the fifth round, and then he's just kind of like a special teamer. So, I don't expect him to be the guy that takes Gideon's job. I think he is a very good special teamer that, I mean, I could see him not making the team. I could see him or Downs not making the team.
Definitely.
Next, Rashard, it's either Cleet or Clyatt, 27 years old. These linebackers are a little older than most our backups. So, like, at the DT and the DN, it was a lot of 23, 24 young guys.
It's like kind of going with a more experienced guy. Like, you've been around, you've got information. Like,
and you know what I think it is? I think it's the special teams ability. Linebackers are, like, your core special teams.
It's true.
I feel like that's all these guys are doing. They're Kentrell Brothers. You're 26, but you're a good special teamer. You can be our fifth linebacker.
Yeah, and I don't know about this guy, but I know Brothers is he's not fast, but he's quicker than most linebackers, so that helps as a special teamer. You know,
you just find those guys. Like, we had Edmund Robinson was around for a while. I mean, there's just these typical...
Like, Heath Farwell never played defense.
Yeah, never. Well, it's similar to, like, a Marcus Sherrills. Like, you're here for one purpose, special teams.
Oh.
You know, his happened to be returning. Heath Farwell's was... Yeah, Chris Walsh, that guy barely played on offense, too. I mean, he was, like, just a special...
And he was a gunner.
Yeah. David Palmer.
David Palmer.
That's a good pull right there, David Palmer. Last linebacker, Greer Martini. This guy is 23. Free agent from...
Shaken or stirred?
He's out of the AAF. AAF guy. Originally undrafted free agent by the Packers. So then he went to the AAF, and that's when we signed him. He was a teammate with Carter Schultz.
Okay.
55 tackles, 1 sack, interception in 8 games.
They made it through 8 weeks?
8 weeks, yeah. That's what it said. He said he played 8 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, still 23. So maybe if anyone actually has a chance to be something more than a special teamer, this Greer Martini could be the guy.
Greer Martini, huh?
Greer Martini. So that's your DNs. That's your DTs. That's your linebackers. Through the corners, the safeties. I don't know where the corners are here, though. Oh, our corners, we have like...
probably not many.
We actually have a few, which is surprising because you got Rhodes. You got Waynes.
Holton Hill.
You got Mack. You got Hughes. We still got five more guys.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Chris Boyd, draft pick, seventh rounder. Teammate of Holton Hill's. Good athlete. Good, really good three cone. So got those fluid hips. But apparently a big disappointment at the Senior Bowl. Probably what caused him to fall out of the, well, all the way to the seventh round. So,
people have been taking the Senior Bowl like highly.
Yeah, it seems like, well, I think it's because the coaches go there and then they like are banging the table in the draft room like, oh, this guy or this guy or
yeah,
or they see him and they make him, you know, everyone doesn't want him because he had a bad Senior Bowl. I don't know. Next, Terrence Alexander. He was a tryout that made the team. So this is the other guy that made the team.
AAF?
No, he undrafted.
Oh, just
he was a rookie tryout. Okay. Rookie tryout. LSU product. Only thing I had on him is that he was ejected once for throwing a punch.
Love it. Tenacity.
Yeah. Yeah. Fire. He's got fire.
Yeah. He's a firecracker. Firecracker.
That's what we need. We need a little attitude on defense.
Yeah. I like that firecracker analogy. It's almost 4th of July. Let's get into the times.
Very good. Craig James, another corner, undrafted last year.
I remember Craig James.
Yep. Made the team practice squad and then did actually get onto the 53 and played a little bit. Has return ability. So maybe a way to make the team would be winning the punt return job.
Do we have a leader for the punt return job yet that we've heard? I feel like it'd be BB.
That's who I keep thinking about is BB. Because last year it was Cheryl's, and then I know BB did some in the preseason.
I know Hughes, but I'm sure after coming off an ACL, we probably don't want him.
He's not even going to get a lot of practice doing it and stuff. I just think BB's the perfect one because it's like it's your third string slot receiver guy. Like, it's perfect, you know?
Exactly.
You're not risking putting, like, Diggs back there. You know?
Especially since, you know, we have a plethora of tight ends. And we feel, you and I feel like we're probably going to use more two tight end sets than we are three wide receiver sets this year.
I wonder if they'd ever think of putting Abdullah back there. I know he does kick returns. I don't know if he did punt returns, though.
I don't think he
is. He does. One of those guys that catches the ball weird, like Harbin and Patterson?
So yeah, and which is always, it's always been weird to me, where it's like, if you can return, you can return, but no, it's not the thing. Yeah. The running start on the kick return, or...
A lot of it's like, Harbin always caught the ball up by his head, and it was just like, dude, it's not a safe way to catch, you're going to fumble punts. Whereas, like, if you bobble a kick return, you just pick it up and run.
Yeah.
You know? There's like... Very unlikely the coverage unit's going to get all the way down there. So that was the same thing with Patterson. Like I just don't think the way they catch the ball. Like,
yeah, because I feel like I never saw.
Yeah, Patterson. They never do the little basket catch. They're like, I for sure Harbin was always catching up right by his helmet. And it's like
because Harbin would always run up to
them. Oh yeah, just come flying through. We'll roll through these last couple random corners. Duke Thomas, AAF. So this is the other AAF
That's
guy.
The guy.
Originally was the Texans. He played for the Eagles, the Cowboys, the 49ers. 4.41 speed, and he had four pass breakups, an interception, and was leading all corners in tackles for loss. Tackles for loss. Duke Thomas, the good name.
Duke Thomas, good name.
25 years old, AAF. Really hard for any of these guys to make the team, though.
It is.
Maybe
quarterback,
one of them?
At quarterback, we're the wrong team.
Yeah. You know, the only thing they might have is Holton Hill is suspended for the first four games. So you really only have four. Mike Hughes also coming back from ACL. So maybe you make the team for the first 4 weeks and then you get cut.
But at the same time, I mean, that roster spot might be better off spent elsewhere.
O-line.
Maybe you keep that sixth receiver or fourth running back, whatever.
Yeah. So
Sean Mannion, who I'm pumped about.
Yeah, you are fired up about Sean Mannion. Last corner, Nate Meters. I literally wrote, I could not find anything on this guy. Undrafted free agent out of UCLA, 22 years old. Nate Meters.
Okay, well, sounds good. Jim Mora coached him, so I don't want him.
Trash. He's trash. Won't even make it to camp.
Probably not. He'll probably get in a car accident.
Whoa.
I hope not.
Whoa. I thought, like, maybe we'd sign someone else.
No, I was getting... Well, you know, because Because, you know, Jim Mora's career at UCLA was, you know, kind of like a car crash.
Oh, okay. I get, okay. Good save.
You know. It's not a save. Yeah. It's what was going through my head.
You joked about it the death of Nate Meters. It sounded terrible.
I said car crash. I hope his car gets hurt.
Fender bender. Just a little tap. I hope his car gets hurt. Yeah, I hope his car gets hurt. Okay, safeties. Harrison Smith. Heard of him. Good ball player. Quality ball player. Yep. Anthony Harris. Also, very good ball player. You know, two good ball players. The depth behind them, though. Seriously lacking. Is anyone back there that we have like heard of?
Well, yes. Who? Yes, this is this guy, Jayron Kearse.
Oh, Jayron Kearse. Okay, I kind of consider him like more of like a big nickel corner. I don't know where to put him.
Did you?
He never really plays safety.
We talked about the corners. Did you name him?
I did not mention him. So
okay, so he.
And I do have
linebackers. We did linebackers.
I did not name him.
Okay, so
what and is I do he have him end? Listed.
Is
under
he a
safety.
Three tech? Okay, so he's a safety.
I just think I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if one of the guys did get hurt. If he was the man to get in there, because I just don't remember him playing much safety.
Not much safety. But he. I do remember. I think he was the first one. One of the first when. It was kind of between him and Harris. Which one's going to be out there? I think Kearse got out there first.
Okay. And he obviously would be the third stringer right now. Like, these other guys I'm going to name are complete randoms.
They're all new. We're really saying is Kearse isn't like either of our safeties, so it's very interesting to see
what we would do.
And what our defense is going to look like, because
if you lost Harrison Smith, like...
And Anthony Harris is a good robber. You know, he... Mm-hmm. I don't know. So, I like Harris. I really hope he continues. Yeah. Well, I hope he plays just as well, if not better. I mean, he's 27.
Yeah, I'm not sure how old he is.
I think he's like 27. So, I mean, he's kind of reaching that point where he's coming to play his best football.
And he just every time he gets in there, he makes a play. Even 2 years ago when he barely played, but that one Rams game, when he stripped the guy at the like 1 yard
line.
Didn't
he have a big play against the Bears in Soldier Field this year?
Didn't he force a fumble?
Oh,
he
too?
Might have. I don't know.
I think he forced a fumble.
Yeah, so he's got a nose for the ball, Anthony Harris. But yep. The scrub backups, the camp guys, the guys that we need to find a couple of these to make the team here. First one, Darren Smith. Quality first name, Darren. Spells it wrong, though.
With
a Y? No, D-E-R-R-O-N.
Oh. It's Deron Smith.
Deron Smith. Fresno State, AAF. Another AAF guy. I think that's like our fourth one. We were poaching AAFs left and right. Originally a six-round pick by the Bengals.
We didn't have cap. Of course we did.
Yeah, we're looking under every crevice. We're looking at couch cushions. We're looking at the AAF. We're finding bodies, and we're throwing them out there. Played for the Browns. Played for the Bengals. Good athlete. And from the scouting reports before he was drafted, a lot of people liked him as a slot coverage safety.
Okay.
So almost like a Jayron Kearse type, maybe, that could come down and actually cover
and
in
play
slot.
The run and stuff like that. Which reminds me of what I would kind of, what I'd like to call it, like a short yard nickel.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mac, like on third and fours, third and threes, I think I'd rather have Mac than Mike Hughes. Because Mac played pretty well against the run, I thought, last
year.
Yeah,
I think he did.
So
hard to say what Mike Hughes would have been. It was only a few games he got to play, but I thought Mac, his tackling picked up a ton from like his past year. So.
Definitely. Especially after week 9.
Yeah, like his second half of the season, he was really good.
Wasn't he the
highest graded slot corner?
I was going to say top 3, but yeah.
He might have been. Maybe it was only top 3. But next, Marcus Epps, 6th-round pick this year.
Yep.
Wyoming, small school guy, only 23. I had him as a 5th-round, got him in the 6th. You know, way to go, Spielman.
Okay. Wyoming.
Solid grades for PFF. Allen. Oh, yeah, that was, yeah. That's big. Teammates with QB17.
Yeah, QB17. Buffalo Bills.
Micah Abernathy, undrafted free agent. Another guy that I wrote, I could not find anything on this guy.
Really?
So if you have a little something.
No, I really don't, but I feel like I heard that name and I was like, oh. Okay, sounds familiar, but I probably just read his name on the undrafted rookie list, and that's why
Tennessee,
he sounds familiar.
22, so super young. And then the last guy, Isaiah Wharton, 2019 tryout guy, rookie camp that made the team. So, like, that is 4 total random. Like, at least when you go to, like, D end, it's like, oh, we've got Bauer who's shown a little something. We've got Weatherly, who's like clearly good,
or you go to three tackle or D tackle, and you got Jalen Holmes, Hercules. Like, you go to linebacker, and even Eric Wilson. You talk a little about Devontae Downs.
Yeah,
you go to cornerback, and you got 1 through 5, maybe even 6.
Yeah,
and you get to safety, and it's like
it's the 3 at the top, and Curse isn't maybe not a pure safety at this point, and the 4 that we have are all brand new to the roster, and they're all like super green, like,
which is weird because last year. Going into the season, you and I were worried about like linebacker and like safety. Like we got Curse, Harris, Sindejo, Smith. Like we got 5 safeties that are going to make the roster, and they did.
Yeah. Well, and I guess what happens is you lose Sindejo, you lose Ioka. Remember we had him too.
Oh yeah.
You lose. Well, you have the other 3, but we were deep at safety. Like now it's, how many do you think you keep though? 4 or 5? I think you could keep just 4.
I think you keep 4, and honestly, I was just going to, I know what you're about to say.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised if you only keep 3.
And you keep maybe 7 corners or something.
Yeah, and
especially with Holton Hill's suspension, maybe you do keep an extra corner, and you just, who cares about the safety? You know, someone else can go play that if they needed to.
Yeah, you can, I'm sure one of those younger corners can just, like, yo, go float around in center field. Let Harrison Smith do his box stuff and just make sure nobody gets behind.
Yeah, it's the role that I've always said. It's kind of like the easiest role on our team. Like this the second role, safety. The Harris role. Yeah, it's like don't get beat deep. Harrison Smith's going to go do some crazy shit. You just deep center, you know.
Or when Harrison Smith fakes, just cover middle.
Yeah, do your job. It'll be funny, though, because do your job, Cam. I talked about running back last year, like, oh, they can just keep like 3, and then they end up keeping Boone and Rock Thomas.
Yep.
I can see that happening. All of a sudden, Epps and Darren Smith are both on the team, monsters.
If you're going to choose those last ones as your 4th safety, are you going Epps?
I think I'm going Epps at this point.
I think so.
For just no other reason than he was drafted.
I was just going to say the same thing. Like, 6th round pick, like, I feel like he's the front runner.
Yeah, Darren Smith being 27, maybe more of like the experienced guy. But as your 4th safety, do I really care about that?
I don't know. I feel like you kind of want somebody more athletic, somebody you can mold.
So that is your defense right there. I think that is everyone. And I'm not going to talk about special teams because we only have Dan Bailey, Matt Weil, Kevin McDermott.
So we, and then
Austin Cutting.
Yeah, so we never signed any of the punters that we brought in. Like a quadruple. There was 4 of them we brought in, like Kaser and I don't know. I just remember Kaser's name, but
nope. I've got a 90-man roster right there.
That's good deal.
The group. So, I mean, I think even by the time camp rolls around, there will be some moves because there was guys like that we picked up and then we cut. You know, we'll cut days later to pick up a new guy and stuff like that. So, should we take a quick break here and then we'll jump into the next segment?
Yeah, let's do that.
Finding the right pros for home projects can be tough and spark a lot of questions like, how do I find a pro who can help? Will they do a good job? Will I get a fair price? That's where HomeAdvisor can help. From leaky faucets to major remodels, HomeAdvisor connects you to the right pro for the job in seconds and even helps you get a fair price. Read reviews, check project cost guides, and book appointments. Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free HomeAdvisor app to start your next project.
Welcome back. Thanks for sticking around. We're going to jump into our top 20 prospects.
Yeah, like everyone does their prospect list for, you know, for baseball. No one ever does it for football.
No.
You know? Which makes sense because there's no minor leagues. But still fun to do, to talk about the, you know, we've been kind of deep diving the 90-man roster. This is a good way to show you who our favorites are, who we think are going to be the future of the Vikings, you know? I don't know. Top 20 prospects.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. You get to know the younger guys a little bit. It's like, who do you think has more upside or the most upside?
When I was doing the list, I kind of bounced back from like, this guy has super high upside, but he's probably never going to do that. You know what I mean? And then there's other guys that are like, they seem a little safer, but they don't have a lot of upside.
So we'll talk about that. I definitely did the upside thing.
Yeah, because there's a few on my list that I feel like you might not even have on yours. Maybe not.
I have them, but it's just they're definitely ranked
lower,
differently.
Okay. Well, let's start it off. Go from 20 up to number 1.
Yeah, and Darren's been posting his
on Twitter. I've been poaching gifs off the internet.
Love it.
Throwing them on there, just kind of giving a quick 2-sentence summary about the prospect. So it'll be fun. Maybe he'll do it like yearly, a little top 20 that we can kind of keep track of. You know, I've seen like Gleeman does it for baseball. Like they go through their top 20.
And yeah, stuff like that. And everyone on this list, they're eligible if they have less than 5 career starts.
Yeah, which is, I just made it up. I kind of looked at it and thought, okay, where would I consider a prospect still? And yeah, less than 5 career starts. That's not games played, it's actual starts. So yep. You have less than 5 starts. It actually eliminates quite a few players.
It like does.
A lot of players. So I'll start my number 20, Dylan Mitchell.
7th round pick out of Oregon.
Oregon. You know, I just think, to me, 20 is pretty solid. I don't know, but I like this guy. I think he's got the Diggs route running ability.
Yeah.
Like, his peak, he's like a Diggs. Yeah. Which is ridiculous to say, but like.
you see him run some of those routes at Oregon.
The stop and start moves. It's very Diggs-like. And it sounds ridiculous now, but like Diggs was a 6th round pick. So like this guy was a 5th round pick. Like,
but later round wide receiver, they've got some of the same attributes to him.
Yeah, that's a bit like, I'm not saying he's going to be Diggs. I'm saying he's got a similar style to Diggs. Not super tall, super big, shifty, fast.
And I feel like we're kind of coming to that era of receiver where you're not going to find the 6'3", 6'4".
You don't need someone which, you know, I like guys that get open more than guys that are going to, you know, contested catch. You know, I don't like that.
I'm with you. I don't want you to be covered and make a play. Get open.
Yeah.
Make plays after the catch.
Yeah, just get open. Yeah. So you're 20th?
I've got Ollie Udo.
Ollie Udo. Okay.
Rookie from Elon.
He was my 21st.
Okay.
So when I initially did it on Twitter, I had him in my top 20 and I was missing someone. So I bumped him right out 21st. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's definitely someone that could be something. Draft pick this year.
Yep. I like him. He brings a little something different to the line. He's, I don't know, I watched some of the Senior Bowl clips, poked around a little on like some highlights. He just, he seems to throw people around like ragdolls.
Yeah. I think he's a prime practice squad candidate.
Yep.
So.
And it's a good, I feel like he's like a good practice squad guy where he's actually like got talent.
That's the thing.
He might be one of the guys where we try to sneak him somewhere and somebody just flat out claims him and goes, no, he's good enough to play for us now.
That's the thing. It's like, can he play now or is he the perfect practice squad guy because maybe he needs a little seasoning? And it's like, we get him slid through and you can groom him, which would be nice.
And maybe a bad football team like the Bengals goes, you know what?
Yeah.
They just lost Jonah Williams.
That's crazy.
Boom, we'll take him, and we only play 40. We only dress 49 anyways. Yeah. He's not going to play, but, you know, we want him.
And it's like, you know, they're basically going to want to tank at this point because that team's trash. So my 18th is Armin Watts, who we just talked about, Arkansas, 3-tech. For a 6th-round pick, I think he's someone that could actually be something.
He's super athletic for being 295 pounds. Uh-huh. He's got a nose for the ball.
I like
really
that,
good pass rush skills.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, he's got the pass rush skills. And for someone that was a 6th-rounder, I knew his name. Like, that was pretty deep in the draft. Like, oh, Armin Watts? Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
So that's my 18th. Who do you got at 18?
We're at 19.
19. Oh, wait. I skipped my 19.
Okay.
I went right to 18. Let me give you my 19.
19.
Chris Boyd, cornerback. We also just talked about him. Holton Hill's teammate. You know.
Yep. Good player. I like him. I feel like he's got some good upside. Mm-hmm.
Good idea. Review this list like maybe like week 3 or 4 of preseason and see where guys have moved. You know, because like right now, Chris Boyd, you don't really know much about him. Does he show something in preseason and jumps up the rankings? You know, we could do like a mid preseason update to this and kind of.
This is true. Then. I mean, and
maybe
who knows what happens at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not ousted early. But, you know, if we need some filler, we'll go, hey, how did our top prospects
rank? Yeah, maybe a little bye week. A little bye week action.
Oh, yeah. So we've got a late bye week this year,
we do,
which is super rare.
So I had Dylan Mitchell, Chris Boyd. Who's your 19th?
I have Tashaun Bauer at 19.
Okay.
That's where I'm talking about the upside thing where I feel like, does he have upside? Yes. But I'm starting to kind of settle my flames on him.
Like maybe he is what he is.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree. I think you're jumping the gun a little. I think he was hurt last year. I don't think we've got to see if he's gotten better. So I actually, he's higher on my list.
Yep. But
this preseason will be like, is he better than what he was or is this kind of what he is?
Is he going to be the third pass rusher? Yeah, he might be fourth, but but can he be a third pass rusher?
Right.
And if he shows he can be a third pass rusher, yes, he moves up the list because that's important, but I feel he's more of like the fourth, fifth guy. So I've got him lower.
Okay. So my 18th was Watts.
I've got Chris Boyd at 18.
Okay, was my 19th. And my 17th is Bauer. So,
okay.
So you're 17.
And I've got Dylan Mitchell at 17.
Oh, who we talked about. So yeah. Our bottom four are the same in a different order. You have Odu.
I've got
Odu.
Udo.
Yeah.
But you...
Who did I have?
You have... who did you have at 20?
Dylan Mitchell.
Dylan Mitchell.
So how many have you named? Five?
Udo, Bauer, Boyd, Mitchell.
And I had...
You have Bauer...
I had Mitchell, Boyd, Watts, Bauer. Oh, Watts.
Watts.
Watts, okay. He's either high or not on the list. Okay, so my 16th, Jeff Badette.
Okay.
He's one that it's like... I think his upside is really high because he's got that 4.2 speed. I just don't really have a lot of confidence that he's ever going to be anything. You know what I mean? Like, super low floor, super high ceiling.
Yep. I love Jeff Badette. I like Bidet, you know, because I'm a plumber. So,
okay.
You know.
I got you. I got you.
But I really like him. Like, I really, really want to have him as, like, my number seven guy because of that 4.2 speed. Because I don't want to be known as the guy who slept on him. I want to be like I want to be at the forefront of the Jeff Bidet.
I hear you. I just worry that like it's just the 4.2 speed that's putting him up there. There's nothing else there.
I'm with you. Like he might just be fast. He might not be able to give that little shimmy at the top of your route to get open. Mm-hmm. He might not be able to do anything else. So he's on the field. Just put a safety over him if we've got a slow corner. I mean. Yeah. 4.2 speed, you can blank it, and not be able to get anything out. How many guys? Troy Williamson.
Yeah, that's who we talked about. Yeah, it doesn't mean anything. But super high ceiling, super low floor. We'll see. He could just wash out and be nothing, or he could. I mean, the Jets tried to steal him, so there's some other teams that think he's something. Nope. That's my 16th. Who's your 16th?
I've got Jaleel Johnson at 16.
Okay. The 3-tech out of Iowa.
Yep. This will be his fourth year.
It's make or break year for him.
Yep.
He either needs to step up and be something, or it's kind of you're
and
just.
I just, you know, again, guys, remember prospect five or less games started, or less than five games started. He doesn't start. Yeah, you've seen him on the field.
He's rotated
a lot.
In a few here and there. He's actually my 15th.
Okay,
so Jaleel Johnson, 15 for me, 16 for you.
I got Bidet at 15.
Okay, so we're just a little out of order, but very similar. My 14th. We in 14?
Yeah. Yep.
Kyle Sloter.
Okay.
14th.
Let me hear it, man. Let me hear it.
Why won't they give him the backup job? I mean, what's the guy got to do?
That's why he didn't make my list.
Didn't make your list.
Didn't make my list. Because, honestly, yeah, he does good against the third and fourth stringer guys, but if we're
great against them. He murders preseason every year. Like, what is he not doing that's...
Exactly. What is he not doing? That's why. Why are we bringing in Mannion? Why aren't we just bringing in Browning and going? Okay, we're rolling with two quarterbacks this year.
I don't know. I mean, I get you want to bring in competition. I just
unless we're plays. Literally just bringing in Mannion for competition. Hold the clipboard. You're done. Like after the preseason.
Well, and I don't think that's it because he's. Gotten most of the backup snaps. Slaughter hasn't. It's been mostly Mannion. So I still believe that Kyle Slaughter has some prospect ability. Like he could at some point be something.
See, I guess I'm going like, are these guys potential starters somewhere?
Like in the future? Yeah. And I still think that Kyle Slaughter has a chance.
I don't think Slaughter could start for anyone. I mean,
right now? Well,
No.
Ever is what you're saying. Okay. Ever.
Yeah. I feel like he's a fringe backup quarterback.
That's probably what he is. But I think there's a small chance that he could be like a Tony Romo. Like, sat for 3-4 years and then kept showing that, hey, I'm good. Every time you put me out here, I make plays.
Just give me my chance.
Yeah, just give me a shot. I get that maybe in practice I don't look as good, but every time I get on the field, I make plays. Why doesn't, Trevor Siemian ever make a play in the preseason? Why doesn't Sean Mannion, third-round pick, ever make a play? Guy makes plays. So I'm going to put him 14.
The kind of walk-off touchdown at the end of the third preseason.
To Chad Beebe, the game-winning drive, 4th and 15, rolling out. If you look back and watch his Bronco highlights from last year.
Broncos highlights.
He was like
really
the highest
good.
Rated quarterback in all preseason. Again, I know it's backups, but our other backup quarterbacks look terrible.
I was just going to say.
Keenum looked terrible against backups.
Backups don't, I mean, just because you light up backups doesn't mean you can only light up backups. Like you said, Case Keenum, Mannion, they don't make plays in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
So I Well, maybe I should, you know, digest some of this.
But if I were to bet, I bet he never starts.
Yeah.
Like maybe a spot start here and there, but never is like the starter. Like if I had to bet on it, so.
Yeah, we're betting men. Yeah, so.
We're gamblers. So he's my 14th. Who's your 14th?
14th, I got Armin Watts.
Armin Watts, okay. A little higher than I did.
Yep, pure pass rush ability out of the three tag, I guess maybe it's because he's more of a positional need. I probably bumped him up.
Better path to maybe getting some playing time.
Yeah, but I don't know. He seems really athletic for being 295.
Yeah.
He can rush the passer. I don't see any reason why Patterson and Zimmer can't get their hands on him and make him something.
Oh, I'm excited for Watts. My 13th, Mike Boone.
Mike Boone.
Running back. I mean, look good in preseason, look good in some spots. I don't see any reason why he doesn't make this roster.
No, I've got him a little higher up. Okay. I've got our boy Hercules at 13.
Hercules. Gotta have him. I almost wanted to go super high with him. I kind of pulled back a little. I didn't want to get too crazy because it's like
too. Yep.
He's kind of the hot name right now, but Hercules.
Yep. And like part of me, I actually did want to put Watts ahead of him. Like
you
just part of me wanted to. I've got them
wanted back to put Watts ahead of you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've got him back to back, but I mean like I don't know. Played linebacker, DN, three tech. We've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, being able to take in that kind of defense, like he's got to be a smart player. And he's obviously a physical freak. He won Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah,
and he, besides the fact that he doesn't have the size, he's played like when he plays, he makes plays. Like yep. He wasn't in the Pac-12. He was the deep, like you said, Defensive Player of the Year. He dominated. So I just feel like give him a chance, and he's gonna be good.
Yeah, and it's not like he was the Sky West Defensive Player of the Year. No. Pac-12.
Yeah, it's a legit conference.
Yep, Power 5 conference.
That was your which one?
13.
13. So my 12th is Jalen Holmes.
Okay. Okay.
Ohio State, I think you might have him a little higher than I do.
Definitely.
I have Hercules ahead of him.
Yeah, I'm a Holmes homer.
Yeah, I really like Holmes. He's 12th, but I'm sorry, I like some other guys better. Actually, this is kind of where, I got some guys ahead of him that I think have lower ceilings than him, but are safer bets. Which, if I redid it, I might go with a little more of the upside guys. More of the, like, when you think of baseball, like the A prospect, this is B a prospect.
It's a practice run. We've never done another 12.
I think I got some of the safer guys a little too high. But Jalen Holmes, my number 12. Who's your 12?
12, I got Conklin.
Conklin. So he's someone I would consider a safe prospect. Like he's never going to be a dominant tight end in football, but he'll be around for 8 years. I'm sure.
And you've got him in the same range.
Yep. Yeah.
So he's a safe guy. He fits right here in this.
Eight to 12
range. Or
like
whatever.
I have Jalen Holmes one behind him, or not one behind him, but behind him. And Jalen Holmes to me is like got much more upside to be like he could be a starting three tech. Where Conklin probably is always going to be like a number two tight end, but he's never, I think he's going to be on an NFL roster for a while.
Yeah.
Holmes could wash out.
Yep. And like Conklin's one of those guys where it may not be with us for 10 years, but it's going to be like, oh, look at that. Tyler Conklin plays for Detroit. Like, I know that name. Or he's on Houston now or Miami. It's just like probably is going to be one of those guys that floats around as a number two tight end.
Yeah,
always
exactly.
Signs a 1 or 2 year deal. And just
like I've seen enough from him to know that, okay, this guy can play in the NFL.
Yeah.
But I've seen enough to know that, okay, he's probably just a number two tight end. Where Jalen Holmes, I haven't seen anything. So it's kind of like you don't know. So it's kind of like, it's like, oh, this could be really good. But it also could be nothing.
Both Holmes and Conklin, probably more so Conklin right now, could start for you at their respective position in a pinch.
But you don't know that about Holmes. Have we seen anything yet?
Well,
few plays,
yeah. I mean,
yeah. Like, we think he can. I think I know more that Conklin can.
Yeah, like if you need, for some reason, two of our tight ends go down and all of a sudden you need.
Yeah.
It happened last year.
Yeah, we lost Morgan for a while there.
Yeah, and Conklin
seemed
number two tight
end to me. Holmes didn't get to play as much. Do I think he could probably step in? Yeah, I think he could. So my 11.
Yep.
Is Hercules.
Okay. I've got Eric Wilson at 11.
Okay, Eric Wilson. I would say similar to Conklin. I think he kind of is what he is, but he's also a very useful player
yeah,
that will be on a team as a special teamer, as a backup linebacker for a long time.
Yep.
So it's hard to kind of put those guys again.
These are the spots for them, yep, where it's like
limited upside, but they're way more of a sure thing than a Kyle Sloter or a Jeff Bidette.
Or Ali Udoh. Yeah, or they're Chris gonna. Boyd.
They're on the team. You know, Eric Wilson's made the team. You know, so my 10th was Conklin.
Okay, I've got Mike Boone at 10.
Mike Boone, okay.
Yeah, big Boone guy. I think we both are.
We both love Boone.
And I just remember him making plays in the preseason, made a couple plays in the regular season. I like Boone.
And anytime, I think I've said this quite a few times, but like anytime an undrafted free agent makes the team, I just really like that. Because there's times where like a 6th-round pick makes the team and he doesn't deserve it, but like the GM's like, well, I took him in the 6th, you know.
I drafted him.
Undrafted guy, that means he showed a lot.
What I really like about the Vikings is we don't care if you're drafted or not.
That's what it seems like. Like, we don't. Like, we'll cut bait. Like, if we cut Marcus Epps and Chris Boyd, I wouldn't be surprised. If we cut, I mean, both the receivers could not make the team, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. But,
so I do think I think Spielman feels, like, secure in his position that he's not going to get canned, so he's not worried about that kind of.
And I think he knows that if he's worried about his draft picks and not making the team better, he's more apt to get fired for keeping bad players than he is.
Yeah.
To cut bait.
The goal should be to create a good roster. So, like, don't do stupid stuff like, you know, try to make your draft history look great or whatever. Yeah. So, that was your 10.
10, yep.
And that was
Boone. Mike Boone.
Mike Boone. My 9 is Eric Wilson. We've talked about.
Yep.
Your 9?
Chad Beebe.
Chad Beebe. Love some Chad Beebe.
See, Chad Beebe's cool to me. Like, he's fine, but I think he's right around that point where what I see is what I get.
Well,
punt returner, put potential slot receiver.
That's the thing. His limitations isn't. It's almost like not skill wise. It's like his size and player type. It's like he will never be a number one receiver. He'll never even be a number two. He's kind of pegged as you're just going to be a slot guy. You're quick, twitchy. You're in and out. Great route. Like,
and we have a slot receiver. We have Adam Thielen.
Yeah, but I feel like you could, as a number three, you could leave those guys on the outside now, and BB can actually do something where like Treadwell on the outside.
Where less, I mean, I get that, but I'd rather see more Irv Smith playing slot and getting matchup. I mean, that's just kind of where I am, where, like, BB, like, yeah, he probably a good, solid player, but I just don't really see him making that big of an impact.
Yeah, I get that. I think it's going to be tougher to make some massive impact, but I think as far as just, like, him as a player outside of, like, the Vikings around him, like, I think he's a player that could be a slot receiver on a lot of teams, punt return on a lot of teams. Gets open. He's a guy that gets open.
That's
so
true. He
and super. He is limited though. Like his ceiling is limited. It's like you get what you get.
Yeah.
Even though we haven't seen a ton of him, he only got a few catches last year. But it's like, dude, you're like 6 foot nothing.
Well, didn't he have one drive against Detroit?
Yeah, he had a big third down or maybe a fourth down.
Didn't he have like three straight catches?
Yeah. Then he got banged up. Yeah. And then he didn't play much. So. I like him. But I get where your point. Like, it's kind of hard, like, as far as huge impact when you're, like, a slot receiver and we do a lot of two tight end sets. Thielen likes to go inside. Diggs likes to go inside, so.
Yeah, and especially, like, Thielen and Diggs going inside, a lot of the top cornerbacks in the game don't
go in there, yeah.
Don't go play nickel. So why wouldn't you put two of the 10, 15 best receivers inside and get you a good matchup.
Thielen was on KFan though, and he was saying he prefers to be on the outside.
I believe it.
Because what his big thing he was saying was that you get, it's like, when you go inside, there's no game being played with the corner. It's always a different person, or it's a zone or something. It's not, where when you're on outside, it's like, okay, I've been setting up this double move for the last 4 routes.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot more of like a one-on-one, like, okay, I think
it's more of a chess
match. Yeah, like a chess match. And he says, like, it's just in the inside, you don't do that as much. And it did seem like a lot of what he ran on the inside was just, like, quick angle routes. And it's like, I'd like a lot more double moves and stuff. So if you can make little Chad Beebe do those little angle routes, those little quick turnarounds to get, like, late, you know, first downs here and there.
I do prefer Thielen and Diggs on the outside.
Yeah. Like, I think they kill it on the inside, too. But, like, if you actually had a competent slot and you could keep them both on the outside, might be better than Treadwell on the outside, who sucks, and then you're putting Thielen on the inside.
And I love the idea of Diggs and Thielen lined up next to each other. You know what?
Diggs in
the slot or Thielen in the slot. Like, there's all the attention on half the field. Like all of the
attention. Then you do a little screen to Dalvin on the other side. Yep, a little tight end screen to Irv.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say that.
You know, right to him. So that was your what?
No, I had Chad BB at 9, yeah.
BB at 9. I have my 8 is Drew Samia.
Okay.
Fourth round this year guard. I think he's a great fit in our scheme.
Yep.
I probably won't be cracking the lineup this year, but I think next year he'll be a – if things go right for him, he could be a starter next year. And if things go really right, maybe he does take Elflein's job this year.
Or, yep. Or
probably not Klein.
Somebody gets hurt, but
– And there, yeah, yeah.
I feel like Samia is the probably going to be the sixth lineman,
yeah,
kind of thing. Like,
well, the backup to the interior. I mean, he's the back. I think he's gonna be the guy behind both the guards. Rashad Hill will be the guy behind both the tackles, yeah, and true. Centers.
Elflein,
you know, which means Samia then gets plugged in. So he is kind of the backup to
all if three any positions.
Injury happens to the interior, he's gonna plug in wherever that needs to be. So
we hope.
Yeah, we that's hope. The thing. We don't know, but as far as I liked him coming out, I thought he was a good scheme fit. Got him the fourth.
He was always the guy when we did the mock draft. So it was like, yeah. Oh, Samia's there. Like, do we take Samia?
Yeah, he's kind of always like, oh crap, I didn't take a lineman early, so I'll grab Samia late. You know? So it's
because he always seems safe. Like,
yep,
good scheme fit. Like you said,
yep, kind of the perfect prospect that we were looking for. So that was my eighth. Your eighth?
I got Jaron Curse at 8.
Jaron Curse. Okay, yep. He's one that it's like, is he kind of just what he is at this point? Great special teamer, big nickel.
He's tough because like, is, I went with the safe like at 8 where that's like, you know, yeah. He's good. Don't know about the upside anymore, but he's a safe player. But he could still be a guy. He was a 7th round pick. He could still be a guy who's still developing.
That's the thing. Like, I doubted him last year and he leaped. Maybe he does it again. And like, a good comp for him is George Aloka, because they're both 6'4" safeties. Zimmer scheme. Maybe, you know, maybe Harris does leave after the season and all of a sudden it's like, Jaron's our guy. It's going to be Harrison Smith and Jaron back there.
Oh.
So, I have him 7, so I got him right after here. And okay. He's a tough one. You know, it's like, is he what he is, or is there something more? So, 7, I think 7-8 is a good spot for him. He's kind of like almost, because these next few guys coming up, I think, have a little more upside than the guys we just said. So,
right on. I've got Jalen Holmes comes in at 7 for me.
Okay, yeah.
Based on upside.
Yeah, he's 5 higher than me, so big. Yep. You're a big fan of Jalen Holmes.
Yep.
And rightfully so, like we talked about, Andre Patterson's been talking him up. I mean, that's a good sign.
And I feel like it's going to be a broken record for me all year. Like, I feel like I've been saying it for a long time now. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
like,
yeah. You've been on the whole stream.
Jalen Holmes, yep. Jalen Holmes.
This is like your Trey Waynes of last offseason.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Love it. And that worked out pretty good.
Yeah. I think at this point, quite a few Viking fans think Waynes did better than Rhodes last year. You know? Some still hate on Waynes, but...
That's their fault, not mine.
It's like when people still ripped on Cedric Griffin 5 years in. It's like, he's good now. Yep. I don't know if you're paying attention, but he's good now.
You know, I wanted to hate Cedric Griffin so bad. And then 2009 happened. It's like, well, there we go.
He's good now. He's good now. My number 6, Alexander Mattison.
Same spot.
More I watch him, the more I like him, man. Like, I just think he's like...
He's tough nose. Yeah. And he's more explosive than I initially thought.
Yeah. He's like a more explosive Murray. And like, I mean, fresher, younger, but he's north-south, powerful.
I feel like he's Latavius Murray when Latavius Murray came out.
Yeah, that's very... And good hands, good block. Like, he's an all-around player. And he's a guy that I think complements Dalvin Cook well, because he can be short yardage. He can be the, you know, the more of a north-south where... I just think I think it's a good fit, and I like him.
I want to kind of start watching more, I don't know who their quarterback was, kind of maybe watch more of his highlights and see if Mattison's on the field and passing downs.
Yeah, because that's going to be a big thing.
And how he does
against
pass rushers. Mm-hmm. See how his pass blocking is. Because I've kind of been here and there kind of watching some Mattison highlights. But, yeah, you never see... Pass blocking highlights from running backs.
No one really throws that in there, yeah. But
casual fans don't care.
Yeah. We'll find out when he blows a block and lets, Mannion get lit up. So that was your 6th, my 6th, both the same. My 5th is Chad Beebe, so I got him pretty high.
Yes.
I just think he's kind of he's safe at this point, like super safe, and I think I like him. Gets open, you know? So, yeah. But I think like Mattison probably has higher upside. You know, than BB.
But yeah, but then again, we really didn't know. We never talked about Mattison before going through the draft.
He could be nothing. Like, it is, like, I think BB, even though he hasn't really proven much, just like I think he's got a very defined role that he will succeed at.
This is true, and like he's a really good route runner. He separates. He creates separation.
All the
himself
all with the gifts feet. I keep seeing on Twitter, it's like just in and out of his break. So
Andy, like I forgot who it was. Maybe it was Straight Cash Homie. Posted that picture of him with the broken forearm a couple years ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
Oof, that looked nasty. Mm. So I mean, coming back, I mean, literally, it was just like dangling there. So
that was my fifth. Who was your fifth?
Fifth, I got Drew Samia.
Drew Samia,
and
okay.
I know, yeah, like we talked about him. Samia's
a great fit for this offense.
Yeah, so I think that the scheme fit really like
bumps him up for sure, yeah.
And especially playing at a power school at Oklahoma, protecting for Baker, Kyler. It.
I mean, he was handpicked by Gary Kubiak. Plucked him. So that was your fifth. My fourth is Holton Hill.
Right there with you.
Yeah, I mean, he was undrafted, but everyone talked about him like he's like a third round talent. He was
you saw people saying top 50 prospect.
Yeah, top 50. That's what you said. Yeah, people said that a lot. He showed, I thought, plenty to know that he's a real NFL player. Yeah, got popped for the PED thing. Hopefully that's just a little bump in the road. But as far as like talent, I think he's the talent to be a starting corner in this league. So
definitely. And if not us, I mean, if for some reason we can't retain him, whether he doesn't want to be or whatever.
Right.
Dude's got a long career in the NFL. It's tough to play cornerback as a rookie and not look like a complete doofus.
Yeah, and he looked solid. So it's, you know, and what's interesting is Waynes and Mack are both going to be free agents. If they both walk, you're looking at Hughes on the outside, Rhodes on the outside, or no, I mean, it would probably be Holton Hill when we go nickel on the outside. So it's Hughes in the nickel spot, Holton Hill on the outside, Rhodes on the outside. I mean, so Hill could get pushed into
starting role next year.
Next season, yeah. So, I mean, I think if it was our base defense, I think you would go Hughes and Rhodes. But when you go to nickel, Hughes slides inside, and kind of like what Winfield did for so many years. Like, he played every snap, but he would slide inside to play nickel. So that was my four. That was your four?
Yep.
My number three, Irv Smith Jr.
Irv Smith Jr.
Now, and I would say, like, our top three, who I assume are the same, are, like, a big tier ahead of the bottom guy. Like, there's a clear cut. These guys are like our up and coming. These guys need to be some damn good playmakers because
these are what we feel are like stars. Like,
yeah, like you know, if you're doing
when we had Buxton Sano as Twins fans coming up, it was like these next three are like
the Buxton and Sano. They're like the A prospects. You know, you got your A, your B, and your C. Like, these are the guys that need to be
the cream of the crop kind of deal.
Irv Smith Jr., I mean, come on. We've talked about him a ton. I think he's going to be a Swiss Army knife in this offense, just all over the place.
I'm really excited to see how we utilize him. Mm-hmm. Like, he's – like, we keep talking about we want to see him in the backfield as an H-back. I want to know if we're going to do that or not.
Like, I think it's such a good way to, like, ease a rookie tight end in because it is a difficult position to just do a few things like turn your volume down. What are you, dumb? Tight end screens or, like, you know, just, like, things that get him the ball in the open space. Because if you watch him, man, he breaks tackles.
Yeah.
He's athletic.
And he's a lot faster, like, once he gets into the open field than you would think. Like, you see move tight end and it's like, oh, you know, this or that. It's like,
I keep going back to that murderer. The guy, they would hand off the ball to him sometimes.
I know.
And run sweeps with him. I think you can do that kind
of
stuff.
Out of shotgun, too.
Yeah, shotgun sweeps. Like, you know, he starts lined up. All of a sudden, he comes back in the backfield. Like, you come out, and it looks like you don't have a running back on the field.
Yeah.
You know, not that you're going to hand the ball off to to Irv Smith Jr. a ton. But, like, just interesting things like that as an H-back to do.
And you line him up in the backfield. Doesn't mean he has to stay there, you know? Just like you were saying, it doesn't look like a running back. But, you motion him out. All of a sudden, you get a different look from the defense, and bam, Cousins makes a play.
I mean, that Shanahan scheme has, like, you get those tight ends in there. Like, guys like Owen Daniels were good. I mean, guys.
I wonder if Kirk kind of goes to Stefanski and them and goes, yo, this is what I did with Jordan Reed a lot.
You know, he even reminds me a little bit, too, of, like, Chris Cooley. Like Jordan Cooley, like just like a, yeah, like different things that you can do with them. And then pairing them with someone that's like Rudolph, that's a totally different type of player.
Because Cooley is like the epitome of like a modern day H-back.
Yeah.
He played tight end and he played fullback. Like,
yeah.
He never left the field.
Mm-hmm. It's even like early days Delanie Walker. Like, remember him with the Niners? Yep. They used him in all kinds of different ways. And then he really, you know, kind of blossomed with the Titans. But like, Yeah, I just think there's a lot you can do with
Vernon
them.
Davis ahead of him.
Yeah, which is true. Yeah. So Irv Smith Jr., was he your three?
Yeah, he was three. And the next two is like 1A, 1B.
Yeah. Just
like, I mean,
it's tough to rank them.
We probably both have.
I have Mike Hughes at two. Okay.
But like, that's because Garrett Bradbury is Garrett Bradbury.
It's Mike Hughes showed me enough that I think he's definitely not going to be a bust. But he did tear his ACL. He was drafted a little bit later than Bradbury. So that's, there's like nothing with Bradbury that makes me believe that he won't be good.
See, that's the thing. Like, he just, I mean.
So he's our
anything,
number one.
Yeah, if, Bradbury's number one. Garrett Bradbury's number one. If anything, he's average at best for his entire career. Or not average, but like the, like, number 8 to 10 center.
Yeah, maybe he's never the best center in the league, but he's the sixth.
Yeah.
But he's going to be the sixth for like 12 years probably.
Exactly. So, like,
and you want to say like Drew Samia is a good fit in this scheme? Bradbury's an even better fit. He's even more athletic.
Like,
he's like the ultimate anchor to a zone scheme at center. Like one of the most athletic centers to come out in years.
And like with the Kubiak offense, Shanahan offense, like Kubiak even said after the draft, we took Bradbury because like over a tackle because that's the positional value in my offense.
Yeah.
Like center over everything
in
the zone scheme.
So yeah, just, and he can make blocks that other centers can't make. Like he gets to the second level because of what he can do.
Before linebackers.
Yeah.
He gets to the spot before the defender even knows where he's going to be.
So he's our number one. Hughes is our two. I think, like you said, 1A, 1B. Mike Hughes, I mean,
if you're a defensive guy, take Hughes.
Yeah.
If you're like us and
and the Vikings need offensive line so bad.
God,
it's like we gotta But Hughes, like, I mean, training camp, everyone praised him. Coaches praised him. Zimmer gave Rhodes a hard time. Gave like for like a rookie to come in and just get like universally like that much love, it was like, hey, this guy must be really good. And then first game, pick six.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it wasn't the hardest pick six ever.
Doesn't
I don't give
matter.
A shit. Dude met a pick six immediately.
Pick six,
showed that he for the first, I don't know, what did he play? Three or four games? Five games?
Four and a half, I think.
Yeah. Like, looked like an NFL player.
He got hurt against the Eagles, correct?
I thought it was Detroit. I thought it was the same spot Dalvin Cook got hurt against Detroit.
It was so week six. So he played five and a half.
And, like, good player. Yeah. And, like, usually our corners take 2 years to be that. So I think he's got a lot of upside to be a starter.
Being able to play outside and slot.
I feel like he's our only corner that can do that.
I agree.
Rhodes is pure outside. Waynes is pure outside. Mac, to me, seems like he's pure inside. Maybe in a pinch could go outside. I haven't seen it.
Hard to say.
Like,
I know he played outside in college.
Yeah, and he was very resistant to the nickel until last year. He finally came around. So maybe he could, just we haven't seen it. And Holton Hill, to me, seems pure outside to me.
And I guess that has everything to do with his size.
Yeah. Well, and like his, I mean, it's a lot of
he's
it's
not like shifty enough to cover a slot receiver.
Who are we talking about?
Holton Hill.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, Trey Waynes has great long speed in straight lines, but he's not the greatest at turning and, you know, again, it's the fluid hips.
Yeah.
Mike
Hughes might have the most fluid hips in the league.
Yeah, so, like, it is one of our most versatile corners. And, like we just talked about, corner could look a lot different next year.
Yeah.
I mean, you got your starting nickel and your starting outside guy could both be gone. And then, like you said, Rhodes,
He
needs to bounce back and have a better season, because if he keeps getting banged up and, you know.
I mean, you could be looking at like a Hughes, Hill, Chris Boyd trio in 2 years.
Yeah, that's
or
kind of scary.
3 years. I'm talking after this three seasons.
Yeah, after the next couple. Yeah. I would be pretty frustrated if we lost Waynes and Mac. I really hope we can keep one of them.
Yes.
Like, I think they're both very good players.
I prefer Waynes, but if we lose Waynes and he goes and signs for $12 million a year.
I get it. You kick the comp pick and hopefully you retain Mac and you still have Rhodes, Hughes, and Mac. That's a really good trio still.
Yep.
But losing both would be brutal.
It'd be really hard to recover.
And then you're also got to get Harris back. Like, it's, I mean, that secondary could look, it could look different. And we're not going to have money to sign people, so, I mean, at least you're going to be getting a whole bunch of comp picks.
Yeah, and maybe that's one of the reasons why we're kind of getting all these raw athletic guys.
Yeah,
because it's like, yo, we might have to get, you know, substitute.
Yeah, we need to find some gems to replace some of these guys that we can't afford to keep. So, but yeah, that was Mike Hughes, number two, Bradbury, number one. guess we'll see maybe middle to the end of preseason. We'll be run back through it and see. Right now, we're kind of just guessing.
Yeah.
Let's see some of these guys on the field, like Chris Boyd and a little more Jeff Badet. And
maybe we don't even go through a whole new top 20. We'll just, like, go. We'll use the same list and go, this guy's moved up.
Yeah,
this guy's moved down.
We'll be like, wow, yeah, you know.
Why? How did
Jaleel Johnson is gone. Like, he's done nothing.
How did we only have Badet at 15, 16? Dude's clearly the third best receiver on the roster.
If I could pick two guys that I hope completely blow up, Hercules and Jeff Badet. Like, give me that 4.2 speed, and then give me a 3 tech, and I want Hercules.
Freak 3 tech. Yeah, I mean,
Like, from the back, from, like, my back 10, like, the you know, the real diamonds in the rough, like, I'm hoping it's Jeff Badet, man. Like, it's all speed,
but
off-season,
we've been going,
we need deep speed.
And then when we saw that video of him blowing past guys at OTAs, we're like, oh, it's been here all along. Like,
it's been right in front of us.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's the case where it's like, oh, yeah, boom.
Because, yeah, that would be big. Because right now it's, you know, you got the two receivers, you got the two tight ends, but you're still, the deep speed we have is really Thielen and Diggs.
Yeah.
You know, unless, you know, maybe like a Dylan Mitchell or something. But even then, they're not clear-cut top off a defense.
Not clear cut.
You know, it's not even Eldrick Robinson. At least he, you know, that's kind of what his role was, just run straight.
Yep.
And it worked out kind of well for him. So,
just fade to the outside.
Yeah. Super curved. Okay, well, I think that kind of wraps it up for this week. I'm thinking next week we'll hit some over-unders because we're
kind of getting to the point where I think training camp is now technically less than a month away.
Yeah, and did you see we have 16 open practices? I think that's like fifth most in the NFL.
Ooh.
So I sound like the Eagles have one open practice.
What?
Yeah. Cowboys have 20. They have the most.
Figures.
Yeah. So, yeah, like us, the Packers, I think there was like two other teams that had even over 15. So, I mean, the Vikings, man, they do it good. Like, they're, like, very welcoming to the fans to come watch it. I mean, the whole Eagan facility is clearly, like,
fan-friendly.
And they want to make a little money. You know, you're going to buy concessions. You're going to buy jerseys. Go to the Viking History Museum and all that stuff. Like, it's awesome. So, hopefully we can hit, like, I don't know, a handful, 5, 10.
That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean,
then we can kind of get some you know, inside scoop. So, but next week, I think we'll hit the over-unders. We're going to Vegas in, like, 3 weeks. So, you know, I want to study these over-unders and make some bets.
Definitely. You know? Definitely. I'm ready to rock and roll on that. We're gambling men. Yeah. Love to gamble.
All right. So, do you want to read anything at the end, or do you think we're good for next week?
I think we're good for next week.
All right. Catch you later.
See you guys.